the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
What up, people? I said, what up, people? Welcome to a special edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. The Spouser Chief is back in the building. The Spouser Chief is back to give the masses what they surely need and what they richly deserve, even though some may feel that the unwashed matches deserves not a damn thing. The Spousal Chief is benevolent with his time, so I'm giving you a double barrel approach. That's right, another week of two episodes for the price of one. So this technically is episode 49.5, 49 and a half on the road to 50 and on the road to 200, which will be the next episode, but I will get into that later on in this episode. Not only is that the reason why I say this is a special edition, it's funny because this weekend, this WrestleMania weekend, this WrestleMania extra large edition has brought feelings from me, has brought thoughts out of me that I did not expect to have going into this weekend and definitely coming out of this weekend, both personally and fan-wise. This weekend, these 2 days, the Saturday and the Sunday, were very similar, very different in numerous ways, which I will espouse on, hopefully during this episode. Hopefully I won't forget, like I forgot to give y'all night two predictions last episode. Oops. But it's brought upon a feeling of both finality and a new hope, if you will, for my Star Wars fans out there. I know there's a lot of them, or maybe there's not, but yeah. An eye toward the future, and also an eye or looking back in the past. A new era and an end of an era. And actually, if people are thinking about that, I'm talking about Vince McMahon totally. No. Actually, that's very, very small in what I'm going to get into today. Tell you the truth, I probably won't speak I will probably will not speak of his name for the duration of this podcast, because actually this weekend, to me, while his specter was hovering over, as in trying to get rid of the stench that he's left behind, it's more about the two individuals that this weekend ultimately came down to, and that is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and the head of the table, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Y'all know my vain self. Y'all know my, some would say, conceited self. Some would say very self-assured self. Don't normally like to repeat shirts. And technically, I have never worn this Roman Reigns t-shirt on this platform, the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph. I have, if you look in the archive, matter of fact, you probably won't find it in the archives because it's vanished, disappeared. But regardless, I'm not going to make this about me, about my style choices. But the reason why I pulled this one out of the stash, pulled this one out of the crates, if you will, is in commemoration to the head of the table, in commemoration to the damn near 4 years that this man has been on top from the very, very beginning, August 2020, to now, April 2024. He has been literally what the universe has revolved around. Something was said to me last night, and I will get into it more in depth when I discuss the main event, which will be the first topic on hand, because of course I'm going to recap review my thoughts on WrestleMania XL, WrestleMania 40, Night on this episode. But my daughter, Main Event K, mentioned her feelings after the main event. And it made me start pondering my own feelings on what just happened, what I thought should have happened last year, and whether or not this was the time this year, or whether or not I should question my feelings that I'm having after, in the aftermath of what happened this year. It's been a long ride. The ride is not over. It's just changing tracks a little bit. The focus is not completely going to be taken off of the Tribal Chief, the head of the table. But maybe, just maybe, he will see stage left for the time being, only to reappear at the most opportune time, and probably the most inopportune time for any one of many who chose to oppose him over the last 4 years. But personally, and like I said, I'm gonna try to kind of get in and get out so I can actually get this show on the road. But personally, his reign has affected me in multiple ways. In my past iteration of this podcast, the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh, and I can't believe that name just came out of my mouth without cringing, but regardless, my theme song was literally Roman Reigns' theme song, Head of the Table. My persona, to a certain degree, greatly borrowed from the head of the table. Because in a lot of ways, in my household, matter of fact, not a lot of ways, in my household, I am the head of the table. I am the spousal chief. My family does acknowledge me. And even though I have one son that will slightly disagree, my name literally is Wreck the Pussy and Leave. When Roman Reigns had the t-shirt, Wreck Everyone and Leave? Well, guess what? I need to come out with a t-shirt that says the following. Mike Steph, Wreck the Pussy and Leave. Oh! Acknowledge me. No, don't acknowledge me. Acknowledge these. These nuts, that is. Yeah, I'm on a roll. I'm giving y'all my saucy thoughts from my humble abode. Not only do we call this my humble abode, you know how Roman Reigns has his island of relevancy? Well, guess what? Mike Steph has his apartment of relevancy. Yeah. Pay rent every damn month to keep it relevant. Because if there's no rent, there's no relevancy. So this episode, I will be sprinkling a lot of my thoughts on the legacy of Roman Reigns, or the legacy of the Bloodline. And yeah, and how these last 4 years as a fan are unlike any other in my fandom. At the tender age of 47, going on 48, I've been a wrestling fan for 40 years. And these last 4 years, and yet I've gone through the Hogan era. I've gone through the New Generation era. I've gone through the Attitude era. I've gone through the Ruthless Aggression era. I've gone through the Network era. I'm going through the reality era. And we are at the tail end of the Bloodline era. Or more specifically, Roman Reigns' reign on top. So, yeah. To get this show on the road, I'm going to recap night 2 of WrestleMania. I'm starting with the main event and the plethora of thoughts, the plethora of surprises that were expected, but paid off nevertheless. So with all that being said, let's get this show on the road. Without further ado, good night and goodbye. Bye. Adrenaline in my soul. You know, that's only a couple words I'm going to sing from Kingdom, because I think this little video clip I'm going to play right now will probably speak more on how I'm currently feeling. That clip is Roman Reigns and his wise man, Paul Heyman, embracing at the top of the stage immediately after his defeat, while Cody Rhodes and his legions and legions of followers filled the ring to celebrate him, quote unquote, finishing his story. Even Samantha Irving, shout out to Gimmick Infringement, shout out to Tyler, shout out to Brad, because they brought this up on their episode, which you can check out currently streaming on all streaming platforms where podcasts are available and on the YouTube channel of the 19 Media Group. the passion in which Samantha Irvin announced, well, matter of fact, made her announcements in general, but especially made the announcement of Cody Rhodes' victory, you can feel the emotion, you can feel the energy, you can feel the passion, and enough that you, if you looked at her, and there's a clip out there, she's literally tearing up. I thought I would be that same way too. Because in the last year, I'm not going to lie, last year at the end of WrestleMania 39, with Cody Rhodes sitting in the ring with this dumbfounded face while the tribal chief is basking in his glory of another title defense, I thought, damn, Cody should have won. Damn. Am I not acknowledging my tribal chief? Am I not acknowledging Roman Reigns as my tribal chief because I feel like Roman Reigns got away with one? What's going on here? Especially at the time, I felt like that was the wrong decision because it's like, all right, where else could you go with the Roman story? I'm going to say this very bluntly. And don't let anybody fool you. And tell you the truth, they've admitted it themselves. If anybody thought last year at the end of WrestleMania 39 that these last 2 months in the preamble to WrestleMania 40 that we're going to have all the turns, all the swerves, all the pivots that made this truly a captivating weekend, a captivating road to WrestleMania, they're fucking lying. Because last year, none of this was going to be planned. Last year, the plan was, all right, we're going to run it back and Cody will get his time then. Maybe. Also, last year, there was still a certain someone in the back that was still pulling the strings of the marionette. I really, really, really am shocked and amazed on how I feel in the aftermath. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm very secure with my adulthood, with my masculinity, and I ain't going to lie. I teared up. But I didn't tear up primarily, solely, specifically for Cody Rhodes' conclusion of his story. No. I teared up at the family aspect of the fact that he was able to fulfill the promise to his mom, that he was able to fulfill his self-imposed promise to his dad, to have his wife, his loving wife, next to him and part of the presentation, have his close friends and confidants around him. I teared up for that when it came to Cody, but I teared up at the mere thought that this was, as I said in the intro, end of an era, end of the Roman Reigns as Universal Champion era, the end of his reign, pardon the pun. So during the main event and after the main event, I wrote notes. Yeah, my trusty ass notes would be in effect. But it would help me navigate exactly every point that I want to get out there without me going on my famous tangents and me losing the plot of what I really want to get across. So if you see me looking down, looking to the side, yeah, I'm looking at my notes, and actually I'm going to read my notes. I feel like cannabis at that freestyle. As a matter of fact, at that battle. No, yo, I got my, y'all want to hear my rhymes? Y'all want to hear my rhymes? But I feel like this would be the best way to do this. And of course, I would have my trusty pitches in tow. So here we go. The main event, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. The entrances themselves were epic, but the video package leading up to the actual entrances were great. You know, like, we had a video package that featured a lot of pics with Cody and his Elite fam. I'm gonna say this beforehand, and this is my notes. I wrote this before anything ever started, and that was, as shocked as I was last year when Cody lost, I was wondering whether I was going to feel the same way if Cody won this year. And to my surprise, I did. If you really think about it, especially during the entrances, who was the face and who was the heel? Roman Reigns mentioned this in his biography, in his biography episode, that is he really the heel when all he's doing is protecting what he built for his own family, that he put in place to provide for their family and provide for generation upon generation upon generation upon generation, someone that has been here from the beginning, someone who has dealt with the bows and arrows, someone who has lifted himself up by his own bootstraps, dusted off the dirt in which he was buried for years upon years upon years, to build himself up to be the tribal chief, to actually absorb all the pressure that was on his shoulders for years, and up until the point that he realized, you know what? If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down to my sword. I'm going to do this shit my way. Against someone who was here, shit didn't go their way, or shit didn't go the way that they felt that it should have. Left town, bolted out of Dodge. Not only that, helped create the competitor to what Roman Reigns has built and that has equity in. And only when I got shit popping, when I got shit considered rocking, and your creation turned against you, did you come back and want to get back in line. But not only get back in line, you wanted to go to the head of the line. You wanted to take my spot. You wanted to be the head of the table, of my table. So, I say all that to say, who is the face and who is the heel in this particular situation? I continue. Cody came out with Brandy during this entrance with all his American Nightmare propaganda and flags, eerily reminiscent of, you know, a certain politician, a certain catchphrase, a certain Red Hat Army. Not only that, he comes up the Cody elevator, the Cody Vader, with the skull helmet, reminiscent of Triple H. And him and Brandy was very reminiscent of the entrances of the elaborate WrestleMania entrances, especially, I believe, WrestleMania 30 entrance of Triple H and Steph against, some would say, the people's champ, Daniel Bryan at the time. But I digress. But makes you wonder, huh? Makes you wonder. It was also eerily similar to last year in the fact that he embraced his family before the match. These touches were not lost on me and shouldn't have been on you if you was paying effing attention. Because I'm like, their reasoning in putting these little Easter eggs in was to make you wonder, all right, are we going to have a repeat of last year? Are we? That's the one thing about this year-long road back to the place where it all began, or at least this segment of the story, that can't be undervalued at all. Now, Roman Reigns had his own epic entrance, operatic, if you will, with the orchestra. 1,316 days as champ. He's fourth on the list. And now since the finality, he's fourth on the list behind Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, and a racist-ass cracker, Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I said it. Last night, night two, made his ninth main event at WrestleMania, breaking the record that was held by that racist-ass cracker, Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I said it. This was his 31st defense of his Universal Championship. And I had goosebumps and chills just watching this. Not the arrogance, the confidence in which he strode down the long ramp to his yard, to his domain, to his out of relevancy. Now, at the very beginning, Cody pulled out the table early. And Roman said, no. And put the table right back up under the ring because he said, I got an idea. He brought the candlestick to play. And Roman said he was going to send Cody back to Hollywood like the rest of them. And not only that, it's his country. It's his company, little bitch. Roman was talking that shit. Roman, from the very beginning of this reign, has talked that shit. That's what made him different. Like I said before, and like I said now, even though I have things going on in the background, I will persist in saying that Roman Reigns changed the game. Roman Reigns changed the game. And he changed it in a way that was for the betterment of all of us. He changed it in a way, in a betterment for all of wrestling, because he allowed it to be viewed through a different lens that had been done before. You know, a lot of everything was, yes, body language. Everything was told in the ring, and he still did that. But the verbal part, instead of it just being just promo match, this mother F was cutting promos during the match. And it just, he was that dude. Roman used the crossroads. And when it didn't result in a win, he said, you know what? That shit sucks. Nobody wins with that move anyway. Then shit got good. Then shit got real good. After spear by Cody, the bloodline rules came into play. First on the menu, with Jimmy for the save. Jay came out and he went straight for Jimmy. They canceled themselves out and he ended up spearing Jay right off the stage. Cody kicked out of the spear. Roman said, and he got in the Russ's face and he was like, y'all trying to steal this shit from me. I know it. I see it. Y'all trying to steal this shit from me. Cody speared Roman through the barricade. Repeat from last year when Cody gets the two crossroads on Roman Reigns. And then for some odd reason, he pauses and goes toward the ropes. And I'm like, yeah, here comes Solo. And damn sure, Solo with the spike right after the two. But it wasn't the end. It wasn't the end. And that's the tweet. Then something peculiar start happening. And I'm quite sure this will either be followed up tonight on Monday Night Raw, but definitely Friday on SmackDown, in which Solo started demanding for Roman to finish it. Once again, another Easter egg. Remember when Roman proclaimed that Solo is the heir to the tribal chief, the heir to the tribal throne. In the times that they were tagging together, especially when they had that match against the Usos, Solo was actually directing Roman, and Roman kind of seemed like he was taken aback by that, but not by anger, but by fear, like, yo, I can't control him. And this started playing out toward the end. Solo demanded Roman finish it, but Cody kicked out. So while Solo's in the ring, directing traffic, guess who the fuck comes out next? John effing Cena. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Cena took out Solo. And not only that, gave an attitude adjustment to Roman before he left. He put Solo through the table on the outside. And then guess who came out? That's right, the final boss, The Rock himself. And when The Rock's music came on, and Cena thought he was finished, he just had this look of dread, like, I mean, I fought Dwayne before, but I haven't fought this version of Dwayne, and I was just coming out to get my look back on Solo. I didn't know that motherfucker was coming out. So Cena got into the ring to meet the final boss. Cena looked old as shit. I'm sorry. For Cena to be what, 45, 46? And for The Rock to be 52? And for both of them to be in Hollywood? The Rock, I don't care what you say, The Rock looked 10, 15 years younger than Cena. Cena looked like he was in his late 50s, looking like Sting. And Rock was looking closer to his original self, but I digress. Rock bottom to Cena. And then this is where it started getting not only good, but great. Seth freaking Rollins. Matter of fact, before you realized it was Seth, you heard the walkie-talkie. You heard the Shield's music hit. And everybody's looking to see where Seth is coming out. Because, yeah, I know there's a lot of people probably was like, well, there's a certain segment that was probably was like, darn, did Mox come back? Dean Ambrose come back? In this climate? Between WWE and AEW? Hell fucking no. And everybody knows Mox ain't coming back. But still, nice touch. But you're still trying to figure out where Seth is coming from. Seth is battered and bruised from earlier, which we'll get into later. Not only did Seth come out of the crowd, not only did Seth use the music, Seth came out in his shield regalia. And Roman took him out. Roman, because Seth came out with a chair and was trying to get the Rock from the back. Roman saw this and had the Rock's back and hit Seth with a Superman punch. Now, this was an important moment that would be realized in a very few minutes. The Rock was about to whip Cody and the fucking Undertaker came out. Chokeslam to the Rock. Lights go back off. And when they come back on, the only thing that's left in the ring between Cody and Roman was the weight belt and the chair that Seth Rollins brought in. Roman, for a minute, he's had his focus on Cody. He was going to take Cody out with the chair. Cody was dead to fucking rights. Cody was dead to rights. But instead, Roman takes out Seth Rollins to get exact his revenge from 10 years ago. Cody ends up giving the Crossroads not once, not twice, but three times to Roman Reigns, and he finishes the damn story at last. Well, at least this chapter. Brandy came out to celebrate. Big assist to Seth, because he caused Roman to choose. And Roman chose, he chose retribution first. It all originates from that first betrayal by Seth 10 years ago. With everyone saying in the lead up to this match that they were referencing the in-game ending, Roman being Thanos and Cody being one of the Avengers. If that was the case, even though you would look at Cody and think that Cody would be Captain America, isn't Seth actually Captain America? He was literally Cody's shield. He, Seth freaking Rollins, the architect, took the bullet for Cody to prevail in the end. And it started from this shot right here. Every time, every time. Like, Seth has actually mentioned that he is the reason that Roman is the way he became. Because the brotherhood was broken by Seth. Who's the first person that Seth went to take out when he joined the authority? Was Roman Reigns. Who's the person that Seth screwed over and got his first championship from? And actually, in a roundabout way, stole the opportunity from? And that was Roman Reigns. Who is the only person throughout this 3.5 year, 1,316 day reign? Who is the only opponent that Roman Reigns never pit, never defeated? Only person that technically he has an L in his column. He has an L in his column. Or he has one in the L column against Seth Rollins. It all originated from here. And at this moment, and matter of fact, one last moment. Why did Roman Reigns want to destroy Sami Zayn so much? He wanted to destroy his core. Was because last year at the Royal Rumble, when Sami decided to save Kevin Owens from the Bloodline beatdown, it gave him PTSD. From the Seth Rollins betrayal. So at this very moment, he's made the decision. You know what? Part of it is arrogance. Part of it is like, you know what? I can never move totally forward until I kill this cocksucker dead. I am going to take him out right now. Something that should have been done years ago. And that's what he did. Instead, this is what ended up happening. Cody Rhodes becoming the WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion. Now, at the end, the friends of Cody came out to lift Cody up on his shoulders, and This brought to mind two instances of where this happened. They're both throwbacks to me. One, 30 years ago, WrestleMania 10, this happened with Bret Hart after he overcame, coincidentally, a Roman relative, Yokozuna, in which at the end of WrestleMania 10, the whole babyface locker room came out and lifted Bret on their shoulders and proclaimed him to be their leader, proclaimed him to be their savior, proclaimed him to be their champion. I also remember through my reading, because I was only 3 at the time, that Cody Rhodes' father, Dusty, got the same treatment when he won his first world title from Harley Race back in Tampa in 1979. Last night, everyone in that ring had a connection to Cody. From Randy in the Legacy days, to Kevin Owens introducing him to the Young Bucks, to Sammy in the lead up to last year's WrestleMania, on and on and on, to Jay. Allowing Jay to get acclimated to his new surroundings and to pretty much give him a quote unquote soft landing and helping him with his family problems. On and on and on and on and on. It goes. it went. Because finally, 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 in WWE, backstories matter. I swear, this is the BSM movement. Backstories matter. Listen, I gotta get my jokes off. He fulfilled his promise. He gave his belt to his mom. He called out Triple H and said without him, he wouldn't be back. Sorry, I had to briefly pause this because my lovely, one of my lovely, lovely, beautiful granddaughters called on the FaceTime, and I must acknowledge the Tribal Princess. Yes, the Tribal Princess was definitely on line one. So yeah, this gets delayed for, you know, family. Anyway, as I was saying, at the finale, you know, he called out Triple H and said, but without him and Bruce Pritchard, he would have never came back. He's hugging everybody in the ring. He gives the belt to his mom. Brody Jr., Brody Lee's son, was in the ring. For those who don't know, pretty much negative one. There was a lot of intermingling of the people that he had connections with, the people he had true connections with. And on his way out, he stopped and talked to Nick Khan and Nick Khan's family. And they had a brief couple words and get, you know, a slight embrace. And then he left. But never mind about that position. And actually, never mind about him, whether he finishes the story or not. Because to tell you the truth, that's to be continued. I was tearing up again at this point. And I was wondering in my mind, was it due to Cody's victory? Or was it due to the loss of my tribal chief? Those were the questions that were going on in my mind at that time when I was glossy-eyed. And I'll rerun this again. The reason why I ran that clip again is the following. My daughter, Main Event K, my daughter mentioned something that I didn't realize. It was something similar to the fact of when I was watching the Attitude Era as it happened in real time, I forget that my sons at the time were 6 and 3. So I'm talking about like WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania 18, WrestleMania 19. Even though that's kind of like toward the end, if you want to even call that Attitude Era, but you get the gist. So when Chef Mix talks to me, he's like, yeah, I had to, you know, I was watching that and I was watching the lead up to WrestleMania 17 and, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold and, you know, right before Stone Cold turned heel. And I'm like, huh? And then I'm like, even though he watched it with me, he was 3 years old. He didn't get the intricacies of it. So when my daughter, Main Event K, reminded me of this, she didn't know exactly how to feel. She was like, I knew it was going to happen. I was actually prepared for it to happen. And unlike last year, I didn't want it to happen. Because for the duration of her short fandom, because she just really became entrenched in wrestling, my daughter's 17, became entrenched in wrestling during the pandemic, at the very beginning of the pandemic, 2020, when everybody was stuck in the house, unless you as an essential worker, everybody was stuck in the house. So there was no school. I mean, pretty much it was remote learning and everything. So my daughter came across wrestling actually through WWE 2K19, the video game. She actually became a wrestling fan through the video game, and that made her, you know what? That's cool. Let me go on, I think at the time, still the network. Let me go on the network and see what I'm actually playing out. So since the very beginning, since the very origin of her fandom, Roman Reigns has been champion. This iteration, the tribal chief, the head of the table, has been champion. She became a Roman Reigns fan. Roman Reigns led her to become a wrestling fan. She was truly invested in the story. Me, if you would have said 5 years ago, I would be having any type of Roman Reigns merchandise on my body. Matter of fact, any merchandise period, I would have told you, you're a fucking lie. So it's surreal to her that now, as she continues her fandom of the sport of professional wrestling, that the person that she's only known as champion is no longer in that position. The person that has been the center of her fandom universe is no longer going to be the focal point. For damn near 4 years, everything has revolved around this person. So where do we go from here? Where do we go now? What are we going to do now, huh? What are we going to do now? Who steps up? Does Roman stay on SmackDown? Does Cody stay on SmackDown? Does Cody go to SmackDown? And does he stay on SmackDown? Does he play both sides, both brands, ushering a new era in which, okay, I'm the champion, but I'm not brand specific. I can take this championship, and pretty much even though you have two championships, you can take them cross brands. The possibilities are endless. Possibilities are endless. So that was a great night too. That was a great ending. If not a little cheesy, but understood. And those questions that I just raised, I have no answers for. I have no answers for whatsoever. And it's almost like I was going to reach my crescendo, and I got a whole card to go by. But guess what? I'm going to do it in a way that I know how to do it. And that's, which probably means. But best believe, we're going to get out of here in 90 minutes. So, got another 35 plus minutes of this simply dashing face, this simply ravishing body on your screen. So stay tuned. Drew McIntyre won the World Heavyweight Championship from Seth Rollins. Drew McIntyre finally fulfilled his destiny to have his championship victory, his championship glory in front of fans. Because, you know, I was champion during the pandemic era. I was champion during the COVID era. I was champion during the Thunderdome era. And it was robbed from me. You know, never mind the fact that everybody, there was millions of people who actually died. You know, I was unable to relive my glory in front of fans. I was forced to actually maintain a living by beating Brock Lesnar in an empty warehouse. Everything belongs to me. It belonged to me. That's been his reasoning behind his latest actions. That's been his motivation to become champion once again in front of fans. This match to me was actually not like I imagined it. I don't know if it was due to any pre-existing injury on Seth. Maybe he was still banged up from the night before. Maybe he really has never been 100% since he came back. I don't know. Maybe there was no reason to have a wrestling classic, even though that's, I figured, it's opening the show. That means there's no time restraints. They're going to go balls to the wall. Maybe they both realize that's not needed because there's more of a story to tell. Claymore's and pedigrees galore in this match. From the very beginning, Drew set it off for the Claymore. And it was almost like, are we going to get a repeat of Sheamus and Daniel Bryan in WrestleMania 28, where Sheamus gave Daniel Bryan a bro kick and pinned him in less than 10 seconds. That's how I thought. But from the very beginning, Drew was whipping Seth's ass. Seth was clearly compromised from the beating that he had in night one. He took the brunt of that match. That's what makes me wonder, like, was he a little bit banged up? His back, his leg, his ego, his body, whatever. And the layout of this match actually was like a match of finishers. We went from pedigrees to claymores, to pedigrees to claymores, to stomps to future shocks, to claymores to pedigrees. It reminded me of Rock versus Cena part two. It reminded me a lot of Brock's matches with Roman Reigns. It reminded me a lot of Brock's matches with Goldberg. Finish, 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 finisher, 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 finisher. One after another, after another, after another, after another. Maybe it was built this way because it allowed Seth to show his resilience, but his stupidity at the same time. And why keep going for the pedigree when if you're selling your injured leg and the pedigree, the whole premise is using your legs, falling on your knees. Every time he attempted a pedigree, every time he actually completed a pedigree, he injured said leg. So to me, that was stupidity. But the match was dramatic. But like I said, it wasn't what you expected. Before the final claymore, Seth said to Drew, as Drew was setting up the 3, 2, 1. You're going to have to kill me. So Drew obliged. Now, in the immediate aftermath, in Drew's celebration, right? Seth was shown telling Drew he fucking deserved it. Now, in hindsight, it makes you wonder if he was saying you deserve what's about to come to you, what you're about to get, or you fucking deserve this moment. Being the fact that Seth was actually crying, or he had tears in his eyes when he said it, it was almost to a point where between that and the ending on how Seth with the sacrificial lamb, or allowed himself to be a sacrificial lamb in order for this new era to begin, it almost makes you wonder if Seth taking a long period of time off, like he's going to be off the map as well as Roman. But soon we found out exactly what Drew McIntyre deserved, because instead of taking his belt and leaving, he went over to the desk where one CM Punk was doing guest commentary and wanted to taunt CM Punk for a very, very, very long time. Even CM Punk was like, I'm sorry. First of all, like, you won a title, and the first thing that's in the first thing that's in your mind is coming over to me. Like, you can't even enjoy your moment. Your moment is about me. Like, your merchandise, like, I've never had to celebrate. What was his saying? He's never had to set. It took Drew to put another man's face on a shirt for him to actually be able to sell it. But Drew went over after winning, went over to Punk to gloat and invite him to his dick. Yeah, I said it. After Punk was taking all this quasi-verbal abuse, taking this quote-unquote salt in the wound, Punk tripped Drew off the table and took off his arm brace, almost in a way to say, yeah, motherfucker, I'm not as injured as you think. Punk took off his brace, knocked Drew out with his brace, and then all of a sudden you heard the music of the Judgment Day. You heard the music of Damian Priest. And Damian Priest came out with his briefcase and immediately cashed in his Money in the Bank and knocked out Drew with the briefcase. And CM Punk effectively cost Drew McIntyre the title. Now it makes a lot of sense in these two ways. One, why all of Judgment Day's activity was on night one, because in the old tried and true tradition, they wanted you to forget about Damian Priest in that suitcase in night two, even though everybody had in the back of their mind, somebody's getting cashed in on. It only makes sense. And it's probably going to be Drew. Drew's preoccupation with Punk led to his ultimate downfall. The irony of him telling Seth that Seth being a man of honor, I'm going to fight for your right, for your honor, and helping Cody with his battle with the Bloodline, Drew was like, you need to be paying attention to me. You know, you're sticking your nose out in other people's business. And guess what? It's going to bite you in the ass. It's going to bite you in the ass. Well, guess what? Drew's preoccupation with Punk leading up to and immediately preceding his shining moment,
one shining moment,
led to his downfall. If I was Drew, I'd be sick to my effing stomach. But like I said, it was apropos. All the talk that Seth was distracted going into this match, it was Drew who distracted himself due to his pettiness and his hatred of CM Punk. It makes you wonder, where do they pivot from here? Is it going to be are the Judgment Day turning face? Is it Damian Priest turning face? Is Drew McIntyre turning face? Even though, no, there's no way you could be a face, because he reached the top of the pinnacle. He reached the pinnacle and he cost himself due to his arrogance, cost himself due to his pettiness, cost himself due to his petulance. That's not what a face makes. So, great moment for Damian Priest. He finally put all the naysayers to rest with finally being successful in his cash-in. Do you know that he was actually the longest reigning Money in the Bank holder of all time, beating the Rated R Superstar by one day? I wonder if that was a coincidence. Because my thing, if that was a coincidence, then it couldn't have been. If that was not a coincidence, then that means y'all knew that Gunther could have waited one extra day, so he could have been 667 days with the reigning with the reign instead of 660. You know what? I don't know, but congratulations to Demon Priest. Congratulations to Drew for being the stupid idiot that he turned out to be. And congratulations to CM Punk, because it looks like his return is sooner than we all think. Now, the next match that I'm going to briefly discuss is Street Profits and Bobby Lashley versus the Final Testament, the team of Karrion Kross, AOP with Scarlett and Paul Ellering in their corner. Also sponsored by Gin and Juice. Sponsored by the Gin and Juice drink concoction of Snoop Dogg. I said in the group chat with Kimmick Infringement that I wish Snoop would shut the fuck up. I don't know. For some reason, he was just irking my nerves. Like, I know you're a wrestling fan. I understand, but he was just really just irking my effing nerves. Like, just hearing his voice, just hearing the innuendos. For some reason, I don't know. Maybe I was hating. I don't know, but regardless. What it boils down to, this match boils down to is this. Kross and Company, the Final Testament is not over. I don't give a fuck what anybody's saying. I don't care what they're going at. Yes, things that they have done or things that Kross have done on social media just for some reason does not translate on live TV, does not translate on the shows. I think the damage that was done twofold. The damage that was done by him getting ate up in a promo by Adam Cole years ago in NXT. He never recovered from that because pretty much Adam Cole just poured out all, and when I say all of his flaws for the whole world to see. Said without the music, without the broad, without the smoke, he's nothing. You know what they do? You know what I have to do? Or matter of fact, you know what they do? We're not getting this ring to make me shine. They ring the fucking bell. And 4 years later, that still rings true when it comes to Karrion Kross. How many iterations have we had of Karrion Kross? And of course, you know, having him look like a member of Demolition, having him look like a geek when he got called up to Raw as the NXT champion and getting beat by Jeff Hardy before Jeff Hardy did Jeff Hardy things. He's never recovered from that either on the main roster. Every feud, every rivalry he's had on the main roster has been shit. It's had potential, but ended up being shit. For some reason, well, probably there's reasons, but when he got reintroduced, when he got reintroduced on the main roster, he was going after Drew, and supposedly he was supposed to go after Roman Reigns. All of a sudden, Roman Reigns was completely forgot about. Concentrated on Drew. He had that strap match. He did not show improve. And it was almost like, you know what? He don't got it. And then he just, and every feud he's had since then, Nakamura, phew, fizzled. Then he got his own group, the Final Testament, with AOP. Okay. They're just not over. Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray, was the special referee in this Chicago street fight. And he gave the Prophets some pointers with doing the Dudley signature moves, such as the Mata. You know, the table broke by mistake when they were trying to set it up. Scarlett and B-Fab got involved. They had a little cat fight. Frost frog splash by Montez put Cross through the table, and the Profits won. Snoop was blowing up spots, like, you know, Michael Cole letting it be known that he's down with the puff pass. AOP is a waste. And like I said, Cross should just give it up. Crowd had no investment in him. The match was what it was. Candlesticks, tables, and garbage cans. Like, and I'm glad I got notes because I probably would have forgot about this. And maybe this is just my ignorance because I've never seen it. Other people have, by all means. And I'm not saying I'm actually against the usage of it, but dude wipes. Go get your 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 dude wipes. Yeah, head nice. Head nice. Damn. Just asking. Are they wet wipes for dudes? Yeah, I guess so. Are they whole wipes? Or they like whole wipes? Just asking. Do you use them? Do people use them for bird baths? I don't know. From what I read on, well, what I saw online, I guess, was the fact that when, yeah, I'm going to get graphic, the fact that you use them, because the most sanitary thing to do is, everybody knows, when you take a, when you do a number two, and the best way to make sure that you're pristine is to use something wet to make sure that you get all of the fecal bacteria that could be lingering in your area, and you don't want any dingleberries to form, right? See how I just kind of maneuvered that to not make it so disgusting as I normally could make it. So I guess these are way to avoid that to happen for happening, or maybe the fact that, you know, something for it's what, strong enough for a man but pH balance for a woman. I don't know. Next, L.A. Knight,
yeah,
beat AJ Styles in a match that, tell you the truth, was damn good. Way above the expectations I had for this match. It started off with LA Knight getting to the arena. Because you know he's the sponsor man, the head, you know, he's the man for Slim Jim.
Yeah.
And they had somebody in what they call the Long Boy Gang. The Long Boy Gang. Dude was deep throating a Slim Jim. Like, literally deep throating a Slim Jim and waving it around, wiggling it around in his mouth, like trying to tickle his tonsil with the Slim Jim. That was suspect, but neither here nor there. AJ Styles debuted some brand new heel music, which I don't know how much I like. I mean, I was getting sick and tired of, they don't want none, they don't want none, they don't want none, they don't want none. But it sounds like trash.
Yeah!
Sounds like trash.
Yeah!
Like, I love how it's on site between those two. Like, they went straight to fighting. Like, AJ didn't even do the, like, he went, as soon as he saw LA Knight, he made a beeline to that ring and start scrapping. The hatred was bleeding through the screen. It was a back and forth match. And like I said, it was way better than I expected it to be. Like, I had to add the bar here. And it, to me, over-delivered. You know, LA Knight did not have his prerequisite one botch per match. You know, and he looked good. AJ was working crisper than he's had in a while, to me. You know, LA Knight did an Avalanche German off the top. He finished with the BFT, the Blunt Force Trauma. And I wasn't surprised he won. I was more surprised on the quality of the actual match. You know, like, if he can keep this quality up, and yeah, we know it has a lot to do with who he was in the ring with, but he did his part better than expected. This should bode well for him going forward. Like, being the fact of our next match, the winner of our next match, well, winner of the next match that I'm going to talk about, it was strongly rumored that him and LA Knight would face off at WrestleMania for a said title. Yeah! Maybe, just maybe, that's something that they can kind of build toward going forward. Because right now, if LA Knight stays on this trajectory and stays as over as he is, even though he has lost some steam, I can see him having some championship gold around his waist very shortly. You know what's so funny? I thought I had a picture for this match. Guess I didn't. And at this point in time, I don't feel like downloading one to insert here. So y'all going to get more of this simply ravishing body on your screen. The next match that I'm talking about, and see, just threw me off, was Logan Paul. Logan Paul retained the United States Championship in a triple threat match against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Logan Paul coming out riding a dick is peak for him, i.e., he was riding, he was sitting on top of a Prime bottle on top of a monster truck. Same difference. Big monster Prime truck. Sammy returning the favor for Kevin Owens on his way out was great. Like I said yesterday, their kinship is beautiful. It brings tears to my eyes. KO Mania was in effect. He came out with the ECW themed gear, the ECW themed colors. Mwah. Do you know that Randy Orton has been on 19 WrestleManias? His first WrestleMania appearance was WrestleMania 20, 20 years ago. He's only missed one WrestleMania. Think about that. And all his injuries and all his quote-unquote suspensions and all his periods of time off, he's only missed one WrestleMania. Even when he doesn't even have a program. Like, I was watching WrestleMania 29. He had a six-man tag with him, the Big Show, and Sheamus versus the Shield. WrestleMania 28, he had Punk. Was it Punk? No. WrestleMania 29, he had the Shield. WrestleMania 28, he had Kane. WrestleMania 27, he had Punk. These are WrestleManias you might even forgot he was on the card. WrestleMania 26, he had the triple threat with Legacy with Ted DiBiase Jr. and Cody Rhodes. 19 WrestleManias. Him and Kevin Owens came out together on a golf truck as an ode to the Friday skit on the Friday segment in which they had a golf truck. They rode a golf truck over from the Wells Fargo Center to Lincoln Financial Field in chasing Logan Paul. They started off to work together and fuck Paul up in the beginning of the match. Now, finally, after a pin attempt by the Viper, Randy Orton, they realized, oh, all right, we might be cool, but it's a man for himself. So, great little comedy by them saying, you know what, all right, we could put that to the side. We still need to fuck him up, him being Logan Paul. Swanton into a frog splash was, listen, as much as you might not like it, as much as he can very well irk people's nerves, Logan Paul is nice in the ring. I'll give him that. Very athletic. So he did a swanton onto Kevin Owens, and then from that Swanton, converted that into a standing frog splash on Randy Orton. That was nice. The brass knuckle shots came into play, and he gave one to both Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And then all of a sudden, you see this prime bottle, this mascot, cursing Randy Orton out. And Randy Orton is like, who the fuck is this guy? So he takes the little mask off, and it's this dude called ISO Speed. Like, I don't know him. That's not my cup of tea, but whatever his name is, if that's his name. But when I say Randy gave this motherfucker a receipt, it makes you wonder, for all of the learning and the understanding that Randy has claimed that he's, undergone with us, the way he fucked up this dude makes you wonder. But I'll give him benefit of the doubt. Dude was getting a little bit too big for his britches, because he pushed them, and Randy looked at him like, yo, I like you're getting a little bit carried away. You know what? Fuck that. Actions speak louder than words. And they were barking at him, cursing at him, spewing the F-bomb, boom, 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 boom. When I say Randy put that mother effer through a table with an RKO, and that shit was stiff because the table did not break whatsoever. The ending came with Kevin Owens did a pop-up powerbomb tried to do a pop-up powerbomb to Randy Orton, and Randy Orton countered that with the RKO. Paul retained by capitalizing on the RKO off the pop-up powerbomb by Orton, and cleaned up the mess with a frog splash to Kevin Owens for the retention. That was my word. Like, but yeah, it was a good match. I really was shocked that he retained, but if you think about it, is Randy Orton really going to be U.S. champion at this stage of his career? Probably not. Plus, he's still coming back from that deliberating back injury. Kevin Owens, yeah, I could have saw it, but at the same time, it seemed like they don't want him to beat Logan, and he wasn't beating Randy. And if they wanted him to be champion, they probably would have gave it to him during the Royal Rumble. So I can see this branching off into Kevin Owens and Randy Orton having a rivalry. Hopefully they don't turn Kevin Owens heel, because nobody wants to boo him now. And nobody wants to, he can't be a heel right now, but either here or there. And Randy Orton, same thing. So I think we're looking toward a rivalry between those two. Bayley won the WWE Women's Championship from her former teammate in the faction that she created, Damage Control, Io Sky, in, dare I say, a great match, a great women's match, a match that you would not have expected from a typical Io Sky match. As in, it was more, and this is not a knock to her, but it was more psychology-based. It was more grounded. It played the pace of the match, played to the strengths of Bayley, and it really allowed that match to become a classic. It allowed Bayley to perform on the stage that she deserved, even though the run up to this was really like they did Bayley so dirty. But the run up to this match gave me a million and one questions. Like, I'll just start from the beginning. Bayley came out like the goddess that she is. And like I said, they did her so dirty in the lead up. Like, why could she have not got any of the promotion? She was hardly in any of the promotional pictures. She wasn't on any interviews. Like, it was almost like they wanted to hide the fact that Bayley was destined for this spot. And I want to know why. So if this was, let's put it this way, if another person was in charge, you would think that this was some type of message. And I'm not saying it was a message now, but I have these questions. Why was the build the way it was? Was it due to being for Bayley going against someone who can't cut a promo traditionally in Io Sky? Was it that they thought that Mercedes were going to come back, and when she didn't come back, they dropped whatever angle that they had planned from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, but they just didn't feel like pivoting because they had to put all their eggs in the basket for the main event? Like, even with last night's match, you would have thought that the trio, and maybe it was by design to show that Bayley didn't need help, and the fact that everything is not mended with Bianca. She doesn't have any history with Jade. But you would have thought Naomi, being the fact Naomi was the one that actually recruited help on behalf of Bayley, that they would be out there. But being the fact that Damage Control wasn't out there themselves, it was literally mana y mana. Ha ha ha. So it was interesting. Like, this moment came 18 months after. This moment was 18 months in the making after Bayley coming off her knee surgery. It was almost like this match was an afterthought to the people in the back, the people, the decision makers. But if you think about it, it was also the semi-main event. And they went out there with a point to prove, and that was to prove everyone wrong. Io is a big match performer as well. This was maybe not as emotional as the old takeover match between Bayley and Sasha, but it was almost on par with that. Taking in account that it is 9 years later, and you know there are extra miles on Bayley's body. The main story of the match was Bayley and her injured knee. The selling of the knee was impeccable to the point that I had to holler and be like, "Yo, I really hope that she's just selling the shit out that knee and that her knee is not compromised, because that would suck." Io was on the game, and a personal issue between former friends really gave this some extra life. The overcoming of this world travel champion, the EO, the reversals were insane. The perseverance of Bayley to win the championship on such a grand stage was moving. The long look after the victory to EO was a nice touch as well. Like, I did what I thought I had no chance on doing. The layout of this match was superb. Like, I give it 4.5 soul shakers. And where normally this would have been the bathroom break before the main event, they did, and they knew that with that position, especially for night two, especially for what was to come, they knew this had potential for everybody to be like, you know what? But to the crowd's credit, and also to Bayley's credit and Bayley's fans' credit, they did not allow this to be a bathroom break. People was truly invested in Bayley finally getting her 101 opportunity on the grandest stage of all. Bayley getting her just due, her flowers in person, her flowers in real life, in real time. So kudos to Bayley. Kudos to Io. Kudos to those two, and it was a beautiful thing.
Rock laid on the Rock said he was going to beat him like a dog, and that's what he did. Now, there were some reactions that the Rock saw that stopped the Rock in his tracks. Let's show the footage.
Why are you so upset?
They want me back.
Who? What happened to him?
He just died.
Oh, wow. That brings us to the end of another edition, a special edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for indulging me in my wrestling fandom over the last couple of weeks. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making this, me, and this here podcast the one y'all choose to view and the one y'all choose to listen to. Next week, next edition will be... Effort. Next week will be episode 50 and episode 200 of the Salty Thoughts podcast. Both the Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp and just Mike Stepp in general. Salty Thoughts. Yes. It will be an epic edition. And I welcome all of you to join me in whatever madness I devise over the next 6 to 7 days on what I'm going to actually do on such a stupendous occasion. That clip was a clip from my journey to the worst place on earth, the Barclays Center. But that clip was also a reminder of what was experienced on this road to WrestleMania, what made me really devote a lot of time to this lead up of WrestleMania. Usually I do my WrestleMania recap and it's in and out. That combined with the fact that football is kind of simmered down, baseball it is what it is, and basketball, all right, we're on the precipice of playoffs. This is a perfect time for me to really to me, and that's what I did. And if you didn't like it, get
fuck that.
Clear, guys.
Fuck that. You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
You heard him. So anytime that I decide to indulge in my wrestling fandom, y'all know what y'all could do. Let me stop. I'm dead serious.
Fuck that.
Clear, guys.
Fuck that. You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and yeah, I told y'all, once I got that clip, I'm going to run that clip into the ground. But yeah, next week is episode 200, episode number 50 of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp podcast, and please tune in, expect the unexpected. Maybe I'll have a guest, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go solo, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll actually sit down here on this couch and go D'Angelo style and be like, how does it feel? How does it feel? No. Shoot, Mrs. U would kill my ass. Shit, matter of fact, maybe, just maybe, I'll decide to unveil my gray sweatpants here on the Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp podcast. Maybe I won't. With all that being said, let's take this home. Check out The audio version, the Salty Thoughts and Mike Steph podcast, is available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes of the audio version drop each and every Wednesday. The mothership, the flagship, if you will. You can check me out on all the social medias if you want. On X, formerly known as Twitter, at Mike Steffens, _. Check me out on the gram, at Mike, _Steph. And check me out on TikTok, at Mike Steph, single. That's right, single, _. Give me some bread. That's right, give me some bread. On Cash App, Donnie Mike. That's right, Donnie Mike, on Cash App, give me some bread. And check out my new blog, which is not new anymore, but check out the blog, MikeSteph.org.wordpress.com. Check out my brothers, my brethren from Gimmick Infringement, Winchester and McDowell, with their WrestleMania recap on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. You'll be glad you did. Also, while you're over there, check out their four-part series leading up to WrestleMania, where they recap the long and storied history of none other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So, yes, check them out. There'll be no Steffi time this week because this whole weekend was Steffi time. And with all that being said, I'm going to get out of here before I start actually really letting it sit, settle in with me that the reign of the Tribal Chief as the Universal Champion is over, and the reign of the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, has begun. So, I guess we're in a new era. So, with all that being said, I'll check y'all next week. Oh! There was one thing I really did meant to talk about. And it's nothing real big. And to tell you the truth, I probably could have signed out without saying it. But did anybody see a cheerleaders when they was announcing the attendance? There was a lot of camel toes in the city of brotherly love. There was a lot of camel toes in the city of the eagle. Matter of fact, there was a lot of eagles that looked like they were about to be spread backstage. You know, spread eagle. Yeah, I just had to get that in. Ha ha! So with all that being said, I'm going to get out of here. I'll check y'all later. Check y'all next week. If not, check out the community board on my channel, Mike Steph channel, for any updates, because I've actually been active on there. Go figure. You know what? I'm trying to spread my wings and fly away. This is my goodbye. Goodbye. Run!